You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back. We're back with my good friend, Casey Conway. He's such a good friend of mine that I always mess up his introduction. So I'll just say he's a big shot, knows a lot, consults with the Atlanta Fed, the National Fed, the CCIMs. He's a professor at the University of Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Casey.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
Now, always great to see you. I want to thank the CCIMs for bringing you down here to Miami. It was a great event. As usual, your feet didn't touch the ground for the whole half hour. So hopefully we'll get you to really focus in on some good stuff. Well, I want to talk about trade, infrastructure. Of course, we'll talk a little cannabis, rates, the Fed. And the last thing I want to talk about is where people should put their money. So you're on alert, everybody. Stick with us. Casey's going to run down. Not his canned speech, but the stuff we went over earlier today and yesterday. So, Casey, it's all up to you. Let's start with what's on everybody's mind, the government shutdown. What's the impact? People are starting to say that's going to have a long-term impact.
Yeah, it's starting to get serious. So we've had, this is our 19th one since the 1970s. It's the longest we've had. And it's got a lot of tentacles to it. So, you know, for you guys there in South Florida, shipping and trade are important. We've got over 300 shipping vessels that can't come into our ports because the Coast Guard isn't fully staffed up with the shutdown, and they need what's called a COFR, a Certificate of Financial Risk or Insurance. So we got container ships backing up. We can't get initial public offerings done. We may run out of liquor by the time the Super Bowl starts.
Well, hold on a second now. Anything but the booze.
That can't be true.
That's what's going to open the government, Jimmy. When we shut the booze down, then the government will open up.
I got a feeling that that's probably the case. But
you
but
know,
so Casey,
you know, this in Atlanta, you got to have alcohol to deal with the congestion.
Yeah, well, let's okay. You went to Atlanta. Let's stick here in South Florida. So I got banana boats with the bananas rotting. Is that what's going on?
You know, all this stuff. You've got, they can't come into port without their COFR certificate from the Coast Guard. So we're starting to see, just like when Hapag-Lloyd went bankrupt and we had all those their vessels sitting out there because the trustees couldn't decide who had who owned what on the container stuff. So it's getting serious. Wow. You know, the way I tell people to think about it, you know, on one side they want to tell us that, you know, hey, 75% of the government's funded. What do we need the other 25% for? Well, it's kind of like oil. It's that last million barrels that determines whether we pay $2 a gallon for gasoline or $50 a gallon or $5 a gallon for gasoline. It's that capacity, and it's these, you know, Jimmy, I had to leave the CCIM event to get to the Miami airport to get to Newark and go to a board meeting up there. And if it weren't for CCIM having a contact help me get through security, I might not have made my flight there in Miami. And when I got to Newark the next morning, and I had to fly back to Atlanta, at 4:50 in the morning, the TSA pre-check line was over a half hour long at 4:50 in the morning.
Wow, that's amazing. And you sent me another picture, or was that the one where you were in Newark? I know you sent me one where you were in the line at like 4:30. Was that Newark or Hartsfield?
Yeah, that was Newark. And then yesterday, I flew to Kansas City out of the Atlanta airport, and the clear, which you know, usually get a cut in line, you know, you feel like the bully in grade school, get in line in front of everybody.
Right.
It was a half hour wait in the clear line at the Atlanta airport at 3:00 PM. It's getting serious.
That is serious.
You could walk faster.
Yeah, probably. Well, you haven't seen Casey. He's got kind of short legs. So Casey, so you know, last time you were on, we talked about the zombie trucks. You've always got some great stuff going on. We just talked a little bit about the shutdown. The shutdown means people can't get into our ports. That means that the effect of the trade war, what's going on with that? I mean, anybody who's planning a building, their costs went up 25%. What's going on here?
Yeah, so construction costs for our industry is a real important thing to keep an eye on. It's affect housing and commercial, and it started with the hurricane. So, do you know, Jimmy, you guys in Florida seem like you get hit every other year pretty bad, but we've never had a period where we had five Category 3 or 4 hurricanes hit the U.S., and so that's what we've had the last 18 months. We get another one or two next year, we're in real serious trouble. So construction costs are running, you know, 10 to 15% increases a year. So if the Fed's looking for inflation, they can find it in construction materials. In fact, if you go to the Association of General Contractors, the AGC, they've got a great report in there showing how bad it is and how much construction labor shortages there are, how much materials are, how much more they're having to pay for labor. And so this affects the builders on building homes and why they aren't building under $300,000 homes. They can't make the numbers work. And so, you know, even when we think, well, we can, you know, we got lumber here, we got loblolly pine trees in Alabama and Georgia we can cut down, right? And we have, you know, we've got lots of different materials we can put in the houses, but we forget most of those faux bathrooms, you know, that we have in these new homes, those all come from China. And most of the lumber comes in from, a lot of it comes in from Canada. It's cheaper than ours. Sure. So we're really going to be hit hard. And it means not just new construction, but if you're a landlord or a building owner and you're moving tenants around, you can't find the labor to complete, you know, the renovations for tenant improvement. So
is this why housing is slowing down? Because there's not enough supply in the high velocity categories?
That's right. So we should be building about 1.3 to 1.4 million homes a year,
right,
at this stage in the cycle. We're only building around 1.1 million, 1.2 million. And that quarter million difference is all the under 300,000. The lots aren't free anymore. So we're not putting free single family lots in Cracker Jack boxes after the financial crisis anymore. You actually have to go develop the land and buy the lots. And then when you look at these construction costs, you can't deliver a home anymore under about $300,000. It's almost impossible.
Wow.
And so the builders have said, we're done with the grocery store model. We're just going to build stuff where we can make 20% margins. And the best indicator, look down in your part of the world, look at Lennar Homes and their reporting of earnings. And they said, look, we're doing fine. We're making good margins on what we're building. But this thing is so crazy, we're not even going to issue guidance for 2019.
Wow.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, and I have friends that are in the home building business, and they say, well, listen, we're just going to do 4 townhomes contiguous up by Buckhead. Why should we go out and do a subdivision out at the end of Georgia 400?
Exactly right. They aren't taking the risk. The other thing to keep an eye on, so the building permits and starts rose in December, right as the shutdown was going, but it was all multifamily, single family contracted. So we've got to pay attention to what's going on with multifamily. We could end up overdoing it again.
Oh, that never happens, Casey. Now listen, I want to talk a little bit about the stuff that really makes America go. I want to talk about infrastructure. The government shut down. They're talking about spending $5 billion on a, we'll say, complicated set of countermeasures at the southern border and the ports of entry. We'll leave it like that to be politically correct. But how about the crumbling roads and bridges, which is what America really puts its food out on, and its razor blades and the railroads that are starting to come up out of the ground? I mean, we got to fix America.
No, you raise a good point. So we'll give your listeners an exclusive here. So on February 1st, I'll be releasing probably my most comprehensive piece of research work I've done in my 30-year career called Logistics Infrastructure. So you're spot on, Jimmy. We need to think more broadly in terms of infrastructure. We need to think of logistics infrastructure, which means more than roads and bridges, but it means everything that makes this new shift in our economy from shop and pick up to online order and deliver to me. So it's intermodal, it's ports, it's rail, it's utilities, it's Wi-Fi, it's all of those things. And so on February 1st, go to our website, acre.culverhouse.uae.edu. It's about a 50-page paper, but we'll give you the 8-page abbreviated summary. I'll send it to you tonight, Jimmy, and you can post the 8-page abbreviated one for your readers as an exclusive. But
we
talk about what's really going to be needed, and it's you know, we got $21 trillion in debt, and the government shut down. We need a lot of work done, and the difference is, we look at those states that are spending on infrastructure. You look at Florida, you look at South Carolina, you look at Texas. Their state GDPs are growing at about twice those states that aren't investing in logistics infrastructure. So you guys are doing a good job. You're putting a good bit of money to work, and you're smart. You know, if you go to Orlando, if you're a tourist, the tourists are paying for all the infrastructure in Central Florida, so that's a good way to do it.
You know, you said something else that was real interesting, and then we're going to go to break, then we'll come back and we'll talk about, I want to talk about the new industry in Florida, cannabis. I'm going to talk about the Fed and the rates. But before we do that, I want to talk about the fact that what we're seeing here is a change with the infrastructure. You're starting to see 2 and 3 and now 4-story industrial. And so, you know, what's one good trend that you're seeing? And then we'll go to break and we'll come back.
So the industrial, you're exactly right. We're almost going back to the last century where, you know, if you go back and look at an old Sears distribution, it was vertical. And so with these conveyor systems, the new e-commerce fulfillment, their conveyor systems, they're not only just conveying and handling the goods, but they're also doing 3D print manufacturing of some of the goods. So Nike has a huge new facility up in Memphis, and the shoe carcasses come in. They get dropped into a 3D print area that custom make your shoe and everything else, and then they drop down through all these different conveyors and packaging and come out at the other end, and that building's over 40 foot clear, and some of them in the Inland Empire in California are 60 and 70 foot clear. So we're finding the land so expensive, and we need it for all those trucks that are carrying double trailers because of the electronic log system on truck drivers. We need bigger courtyards, more land. The land's expensive. So we go vertical with the conveyor system. So here's one good one I'll give your readers that we shared at CCIM. 5 years ago, 5% of all industrial leasing was to e-commerce and logistics companies. Last year, it was 20%. And I attribute that statistic. Cushman Wakefield just did a good logistics report on that. Our forecast is that we could see 30 to 40% of the warehouse leasing go to logistics-related companies.
Wow, Casey, I want to thank you so much. Hold on. We're going to talk to Casey around the bend. Wanda's playing the music. I got to go to a break. We're going to ask him about what he thinks about Florida's new industry, cannabis. We're going to talk about the Fed, the jawboning the president does, interest rates. And then, of course, I promised you, and I will get to it, where does Casey think you got to put your money? We'll be back after this. Wanda, roll it.